pasuk yudches vayemazet tamarna saros prasa. Mother, and this day, tamarna, they will say, the officers, the saros, the leaders of parasim odasher shemu istor hamalka, they'll hear the word, the response of the queen l'chol soy hamelech uchidai bizayon v'katzaf. Chidai is a hard word to translate. Uchidai, they will be sufficient. There will be sufficient. Let's see right away. Rashi pasuk yudches. Tamarna Saros Pasam Modai Lchol Sore Hamelech Esadover Hazeh Vahareze Mikra Kotzar. Tamarna, it will be said Lchol. Rashi is adding one word into the Pasuk. Now what it seems from Rashi is that this event took place in private quarters. The refusal of Ashi, this is very mysterious. It's not really clear exactly what happened. We just know generally Achashverosh demanded that Esther, that Vashti appear before him naked at the party. We do not know exactly the response. We know that she refused. Vatimoyin v'amalka Vashti. We know that she said to him that you are a stable boy. How dare you? His whole dialogue. But we do not know to what degree the conversation was public. Maybe the conversation was just people knew about that he demanded that she would come and she refused. But we do not know the details of the conversation. So the
messengers, but
do the messengers go and get up on a loudspeaker and say, "I have a message from the Queen"? A message from the Queen will televised message to the entire world that the Queen says, right? Oh, that's the question. So here it says that whatever took place, it was taking place privately, but the word got out. And every moment, the information, that's exactly what Harash does in the Pasuk, Tamarna, it will be said, L'chol. You have to hear the word L'chol, it will be said to all. Meaning that until now, the only one that knows about what has happened is just a few people. The inner circle know about this private conversation. But give it some time, it will be published as a bestseller. Like today in politics, you always see every so often a politician or some advisor or someone who worked for the government, they come out 10 years later, tell all. They reveal all the garbage. They expose, they hang out all the dirty laundry for the whole world to see, and they tell all the secrets. Right? So same exact thing, that over time, information will be released, everyone's going to find out exactly what she said, and it's going to result in a very great disgrace. So we add the word l'chol, that's the key word that's added to the pasuk. It will be told to all of the Sari Parasa Madai, as Dvar Hamal, as Adavar Hazel, what her response? The Harez Zemikul Kotsa, we're missing word Lachol. Uchidai Bizayon. Now, what does it mean, Uchidai? Chidai, in our colloquial expressions, we say, it's Kidai. It's worthy. It's worthy. The matter is worthy. But that's not what it means here. Chidai means there will be. Dai means, it's like, Sha'omar Li'alamoy Dai. Dai means enough. Enough means it's enough. We have something. It's yesh. There is here a substance. How much substance? There isn't maybe a small amount of substance, maybe a large amount, but there is something of substance which will result in harm to the Medina. Uchidai. Dai comes from the word dai. Dai means enough. When you say enough, sometimes you say enough, you just said one word is already too much. And sometimes you let a person talk for 10 hours, and then you say, you got your word, you spoke for 10 hours, enough is enough. Dai just means you've already achieved your goal. There is substance here. Uchidai, that's what Rashi says, the yesh bedover hazeh. Now he seems to say, I told you, dai just means, generally just means enough, harbe.
Right. That's actually the official translation.
Uchidai? Much?
Yeah, that's
great too. Uchidai comes from the word dai. Dai means enough. Enough means there is substance. How much? That all depends. But here he's saying this harbe.
Yeah. Haman is making his case.
Yeah.
He knows that he can't condemn her just for the insult to the king alone. He needs more to substantiate his charge. So now he's expanding the offense to everyone. Like, all the women, and now he's making the case that that is sufficient for condemning her.
Right. That's what the evidential said.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay, so we have over here, now by the way, I just want to make sure, let's look at this, the word saros, the saros of the females. What we have, hayamazet homarna, it will be said to l'chol saros parasimodai. It will be now heard to all of the women, the women folk of the officers of parasimodai, the noble women, they will hear, asher shamu estivar hamalko, they'll hear what was said to l'chol sarei hamelech. So it appears that her response indeed was received by all of the men. Remember, there were two parties. There was the Mishtei Anoshim, and Vagam Vashti Hamalka Osasa Mishtei Noshim, which seems to say there were two separate parties. The women really were not aware, did not hear firsthand her refusal to appear in front of the men.
Because on her end, where she was?
What?
Where she was at the women's party? They didn't.
She wasn't there. She was in private quarters. It seems the messenger, doesn't seem like the messengers went and spoke to publicly. The messenger spoke to privately. She had saras. She had a tail, and she had saras. She was not in public. Mm-hmm. But we have to remember that there were two separate parties. They were very religious. It was not just enough to have separate seating. They had separate parties. There was the men's party. The Gamashti Hamalka also saw Mishtei Noshim. The only one that heard of her refusal to appear were the men. So that's what the Pasuk of here says. It will now be reported to the women what happened at the men's party. And this will result in a very great disgrace, because then the women will now have an idea that they also will refuse to obey the command of their husband. Want to say something? Okay, so now, okay, fine. Let's see the Targum. As I told you, I do not know. I don't really. It's hard for me to find the time to go through all the words of Targum. So I ask you to please help me. If you know the translation, please help me with the translation, because I do not have one. I looked, I could not find the translation. The Yoma Hadain, this day to have Yon Omron Rabba Nosa Defar Soei Modai, the female folk. Okay, the Rabba Nosa, there's a suffix in that word, which means that the noble women of Parasamadi will now say, Lemevad Leguvrehon. They'll do the same thing to their husbands, Heichma, just like the Kabilus Yos Piskam the Avadas Vashti Malka, just like what Vashti did to her husband. Just like Vashti issued a statement to her husband, I refuse to appear before you, this will set a trend. All of the noble women of Modai Uparas, Paras and Modai, will do the same and respond to their husbands with the same chutzpah of refusal. Mismalchin means they will think or they will advise lemevad kidein l'chol rav rivonei malkot, all of the sarim, all of the princes, the noble men of the king, uman yechul l'sovara kimisas choch dein urgis, who will be able to tolerate this enormous disgrace. Okay, I don't know if he's saying the exact thing as Rashi. V'yesh b'davar hazahar b'bezoyan, but he's saying, who will be able, chedai? Maybe chedai, he means, the Targum means to say something a bit different than Rashi. Chedai means, how are we going to deal with this bezionos? Rashi says, chedai means, there is in this event an enormous harbe, an abundance of disgrace for the Malchus. That's not what the Targum seems to say. The Targum seems to say is, it's not a matter of there is. We know that there is. The question is, how are we going to deal with this? We're overwhelmed. We will drown in this degree of disgrace. Uman yechul lesoivara, who will be able to tolerate? Kimisas, I don't know what that word means. Kimisas seems to mean some expression, choch, kimisas choch dein, urigiz. I think it just means some type of degree of disgrace. Who will be able...
It's like laughter.
Well, choch is laughter. That's what's kimisas? This is an adjective? Adverb? Kimisas choch dein.
The cuff is part of the word or not?
Kimisas choch. Okay, it seems who will be able to tolerate this enormous amount of disgrace?
Like masoch. You
Okay, pasuk yutes. So here is where now Memuchan gives advice. Im al hamelech toif, yetzei dvar malchus milufonav. Okay, so this we mentioned yesterday from the Midrashim, from the commentators, is that here is where the deeper meaning of this pasuk that we're going to see when we work with this idea is that until this point in time it was the law in Parsa Modai that when a person rebels against the melech, the matter is given over to a committee. It's given over to the sarim. The king is not the one to issue, to render a decision, to execute a person who rebels against the king. Here is where Memuchan is coming to state, let's change the laws, and let's now give the king the power on his own to execute one who rebels against him, or to make a decision. Im al hamelech tov yetzei dvar malchus milifonav. And that idea comes from this one word, milifonav. You alone should be the one to render a decision on this matter. Unlike the custom until now, where the decision was rendered by a group of people. And why, of course, did Memuchan want to do this? Because Memuchan saw that the votes were stacked against him. He would advise that she should be put to death. Memuchan saw that the other six advisors wanted to keep her alive. He realized he was able to manipulate the fickle mind of Achashverosh only if Achashverosh alone would be the one to make a decision. But if he would leave this to the laws of the country, that the decision would be rendered by the tzibur, by the judges, then the vote would result in Vashti living. So therefore we focus here on the word milufanav, because safe, may it be written. See, here he's trying changing the laws. He's changing, it should be written, bidos say in the laws of Parsa Modai, v'lo yavar, that it should never be changed. That Vashti, the queen, did not come lufnei Melech Achashverosh. Umalchuso yitein hamelech leruso hatoivah mimena. And it will be written in the laws. This will be the starting point for all the new laws that a person rebels against the king. The decision will be written. That the king makes a decision, and in this instance, it was decided that her malchus should be given to someone else. Now, there's a lot going on here. Let's see the Rashi one thing at a time. Pasuk Yutes, Dvar Malchus. Okay? Let it come out now as a matter of malchus. Gezeras Malchus Shel Nekama Shetziva Lehorga. The king commanded to kill her. Now that's a very powerful expression. Now the reason why I'm saying this is because there's a targum not here. It's a targum later on, that if you look very carefully at this pasuk, it does not say anywhere that Memuchan told Achashverosh to kill, to execute Vashti. And in fact, the Midrashim say he just said, divorce her. Remove from her the title of queen. And it's a very political decision. Don't kill her. There's no such thing as a death penalty. And just remove from her the title of queen, and you'll take for yourself another wife, and she'll become the new queen. Doesn't say here death. We look at the pasuk. It should go forth from Milufanov. And her position as being queen, yitein hamelech lerusa hatova mimena. Where does it say in this pasuk that Memuchan told Achashverosh to execute Vashti? Nowhere. And indeed, the Medrash seems to indicate that he did not want her to die, or at least not. It should not be on record that he was the one that caused her death, because then when Achashverosh would later have Charata, he would not be able to come back and blame Haman. Haman could say, "I never told you to kill her. I just told you to divorce her and take for yourself a new wife." Rashi goes out of his way in the very few words of Rashi to tell us, "I disagree, and it's my opinion that Memuchan explicitly demanded of Achashverosh that Vashti be put to death." Okay, that's what Rashi says. Dvar Malchus, Gezeras Malchus Shel Nekama Shetziva, the king commanded Lehorga to put her to death. Yeah.
Okay. I want to read you one line from the Medrash. I really like this line. Amar lo, Adoni HaMelech, which means, Just say the word, Your Majesty, and I'll bring you her head on a platter.
Okay, that is exactly what Rashi is coming to support. Rashi is drawing from that death. Because the words of Dvar Malchus, according to Rashi, automatically connote death. But again, I want to warn you, doesn't always say that. Now, I'll give you an example. This is what it says here in the Sefer. I'm quoting from Mishpatzei Zav. He quotes from Adonia ben Chagis, Misnase Leimar Ani Emloch. Did David command? David, he was a Lord of Malchus. Did David command that his son be put to death? Absolutely not. All David did was says that Bathsheba and Nos Nanavi come to David and they say, you know that your son Adoniah ben Chagis, he's already taking the throne for himself in your lifetime. So David says, okay, so just anoint publicly Shlomo, go out to the water, and send my top advisors and anoint Shlomo. And if Shlomo will be Melech, everyone will know that Adoniah ben Chagis will not be Melech. What happened? Adoniah ben Chagis was now, but he had a following. He did have, because he did work very hard to get Yoav and to get all of the different administrators, so he became a threat. So when he became a threat, Memela, when Shlomo became Melech, Shlomo had no choice but to have him put to death. So he was put to death, not directly, indirectly.
They let him put his neck in his own noose.
Exactly. So that is exactly according to what it says here in the Mishpatzei Zav, drawing from, I don't know, from various sources, exactly what Haman wanted to do. Haman was brilliant. I will not say the word death, but I will cause her death indirectly. I'll say, give the Malchus to someone else. Find for yourself a new queen. But Vashti was a celebrity. And she certainly had connections, and she certainly was in the position to make trouble for the new queen and for Ahasuerus. So Mimela, the only solution would be that she should be put out of her misery and be put to death, which indeed she was. But Haman says, don't blame me. When later on life doesn't go the way you like, and you get it, you start thinking about your queen Vashti, what happened to her? Where's dinner? And you're upset, don't blame me. I'm not the one who told you to kill her. I just told you to get another wife. You killed her. You're the one who decided that she was a threat to your Malchus. It's brilliant, his approach. You have to remember, what the Sanhedrin, we learned yesterday, the Sanhedrin did not, that when they were asked, should we kill Vashti, Sanhedrin says it's a no-win situation. If we say to put her to death, when you will recover from your anger, you'll blame us for her death. And if we'll let her remain in the capacity as queen, then you'll blame us for allowing someone who has no respect for the Malchus to continue to survive. Haman saw that, and Haman came up with a solution. Have her just take another wife, and Mamela shall be put to death, and if you will not be able to blame me. Okay, next thing. Okay, next words of Rashi. The Yikos Sefer should be written in the Sefer HaSamad, it should be written in the laws of Parsamad, B'Sifrei Chayk U'Minek HaMalchus, in the laws of the laws and the minhagim. Notice we have two different terms. Bidosei faras umodai. We had 2 days ago dos v'din back in Pasuk Gimel, and there we translated dos as a law, din as a minhag. Here, for whatever reason, Rashi says that every word of Rashi, by the way, is extremely precise. The Rashi and the Megillas Esther are very, very short, very cryptic, and you have to read a lot into every word he writes. So here he says bidosei, he translates this two different words, chok, a law, uminog. What does the Sif Secham say? To kashle halo hados lo davar gufnihu shabo yichtoi fahavle lemeva v'yava v'yavo bidosei frasamodai l'chimperish b'sifrei in the books. Okay, so I'm not sure exactly what he means. I don't know what he means over here. Havle lemeva v'yave, not v'yikosev. V'yikosev. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what this is. Let's leave it for now. Okay, v'lo yavar. Now, what does it mean, v'lo yavar? Chok ze lo...
I think
yeah.
It's more or less grammatical, because you should write in the laws. So he has to substitute, what are you writing on? If it's something physical, so he says, yes, it's something physical. It's
oh.
Law books.
Uh-huh, okay. The kashule the haloi hadots lo dava gufni hu. It's not something you can write upon. In the laws, not on the laws, in the laws. So it means a book. You shall write it in the book. So then he's coming to answer that, you do write it down. You do write it down in something physical. You do write down this event in something physical upon the actual book. Okay, next. V'lo yavar. What does it mean, v'lo yavar? Chok zeh mi b'nehem sheyehe zeh chok v'dos l'chol haboy zeh espa'ala. This shall be a law for anyone that disgraces her husband. What is the law? Asher lo yisav avashti. We're going to use this as a precedent. Okay, this is the way the legal system works. The legal system works today, anytime in the Supreme Court or any type of judge wants to issue a decision. So what's the technique? Nothing has changed from ancient times. You look for precedents. You look for a precedent. We have something which is vague. It's not clear in the Constitution. We don't want to. We'd be mechadesh if someone, our predecessor, has already interpreted the law in such a fashion. That is enough for us to go by. Fine. Asher lo yisodif. We're going now to issue a precedent for all future generations, and this is the example. Asher lo yisavo vashti ulakach for nehergo. Again, he makes this point. Don't make any mistake about it. Rashi disagrees with the other approach. She was put to death. Now, let's again look at this pasuk. Pasuk over here says, "Umalchuso yitain hamelech liuso hatoiva mimena." As we mentioned yesterday from the Rishalmi, there were three reasons why Haman, who we're calling him Mamukhan, wanted to remove Vashti. Number one, he was insulted personally. Number two, his wife was insulted. And here is the third reason that's mentioned in this pasuk, liuso, to her friend hatoiva mimena. Mamukhan was trying to hint to Achashverosh, I have a daughter. I have a daughter, and my daughter is head and shoulders better than your queen. Leusa, at least in his mind, Hatoiva Minena. You'll find the replacement. Okay, now the words, the Medrash takes note of the words Leusa Hatoiva Minena, are words that are very similar to what the Navi Shmuel said to Shaul, that the Malchus will be taken from you and be given to someone who's better, Lireacha Hatoiv Mimecha. Okay, give me one moment to find the Medrash. Here it is. So the question is, what's the significance of using these words? Because the Malchus here are the words Unisona Lireacha Hatoiv Mimeka. These are the words that Shmuel said to Shaul after he failed to kill Agag. And here we have words which are almost identical but in the feminine form, Lirusa Hatoiva Mimena. What's the significance? Shmuel, Shaul is Malchus, is from Shevet Binyamin. And as we mentioned yesterday, that Shevet was always meant to be, there should be a minor line of Malchus coming from Shevet Binyamin. We know that Malchus has to ultimately come from Shevet Yehuda. That's this week's parasha. This week's parasha is the birth of Mashiach, the Oro Shel Mashiach. Rashi says in this week's parasha, the Oro Shel Mashiach. Everyone is busy in this week's parasha. Yaakov is busy in mourning. Yosef is busy in Mitzrayim. Yehuda is busy with his tzars. Everyone is busy with their problems. Hashem says, I'm also busy. I will busy myself with the creation of the Or Shel Mashiach. So, Even though the Ershal Mashiach comes from who comes from Yehuda, Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda Mechoyek Mibein Raglav. But there is a line of Malchus that comes from Binyamin, Shaul. And it was meant to be, we discussed this yesterday, that there should always be a Mishneh Lemelech, an assistant to Yehuda that comes from Binyamin, and that would come from Shaul. Unfortunately, due to the sins of Shaul, that Malchus came to an end. But here, even though it came to an end permanently, but there were pockets of time when the Malchus was restored. Most notably, at the time of Purim. Esther HaMalka, Mordechai HaYehudi, Ish Yimini, Haya B'Shushan HaMira, Yimini is Binyamin. So Esther now, the Malchus, Esther now is coming back into a position of power, which means there's a spark of the Malchus of Binyamin returning to the world scene. And it's going to come back with the same words in which it was taken away. It was taken away, it departed, the curtains closed. Then with the words of Unisana Lireacha Hatoiv Mimeka, Shmuel says to Shaul, it's curtains for you. But now Esther, who was a descendant of Binyamin, is coming back to life, Tchias HaMesim, with the same exact words. He predicts, here in Pasuk Yutes, Lirusa Yitein HaMelech, Umalchusa Yitein HaMelech, Lirusa HaToiva Mimena. The Malchus will return. So there's poetry taking place in this Pasuk. Okay, now let's go to... Now, there's another important point that the commentators take note. They notice here that when Haman, Hamamuchan, speaks to, Mamuchan speaks to Achashverosh, he does not even use the word Malchus. Asher loy sovo Vashti. Remember, we discussed this many times, we keep on changing between Hamalka Vashti and Vashti Hamalka. See, the highest level is Hamalka Vashti. The second level was, she's not Hamalka, she's Vashti Hamalka. Now we've gone down to the third level, Vashti. Don't even call her Hamalka. She has rebelled. She has shown you, insulted you. Remove the title from her entirely. Now let's see the Targum Pasuk Yutes. Let's do the best that we can. In Kada Malka Shapir, if it is pleasant, and if it is proper before the king, he poke piskam, it should go forth, a piskam, a statement, gezeras malchusa, min kodomo, before you, v'yichtev, it should be written, b'gzeirin de farsoe umodoe, in the laws of parasavadai, v'lo yispatel, and it should never cease, it should be part, it should be an amendment. Permanent. No chance for the law to be removed. Hada gezerita, the following gzera, the following law. Di law teul vashti kada malka min, that the law regarding what happened with the vashti. Umin basar disesei kada malka, and it should be before the king, it should go forth before the king. Yigzer malka viyade yos reshei. Which I think means cut off her head. Decapitation. Okay, that's how they kill people in those days, so it doesn't mean that she was given a lethal injection. That means, you mentioned that Medrash, just give the word, I'll deliver her head on a platter. The guillotine. The yade will be dissevered. Yos reisha. Okay, so at least we can take that from the Targum that the preferred way of death was decapitation. Okay, and there is one other. Okay, let's see. Let's go pasuk off now. V'nishma piska melech, it will be heard the law of the king. Asher yaseh b'chol malchuso ki rabahi, it will be heard about the importance. Ki rabahi means the importance of this law. And from here on forth, all women will learn the lesson from this event, and they will give honor to their husbands from the greatest to the smallest. Rashi Pasuk Chaf, there is no Rashi. Targum Pasuk Chaf, the Yishtama Piskam Gezeres Malka, it will be heard the law of the king. Di aved b'chol malchus, see that it was done in his entire malchus. Arum gezerta rabahi, become, it's an important law. The reason why the law will be disseminated, will be known is because it's important. Umin Basar Kain, from here on in, Kol Nishaya Yitnun Revu, will give honor, greatest Vikar Limarehon, Lemin Rabav Yad Zir, from the great until the small. Okay, now there's a medrash that says, interesting medrash, the medrash says that the word Yikar, how do we know that Aramaic is part of the word Yikar is an Aramaic word for honor. So the question is, and this indeed is one of the examples that we use often. It's used in Tehillim, and it's used here in the Megillah by Chazal to show that occasionally we use Aramaic with Lashon Kodesh. We mix Aramaic with Lashon Kodesh, and that the people living at this time spoke in Aramaic. Now give me one moment to find the exact Chazal I'm referring to. Yukar is a translation of Kavod. So the question is, why didn't the Pasuk just say the word V'chol Hanashim Yitnu Kavod Liva Alehen? Why? What? Okay, I can't find it, but the point is, the Gemara says Adam Harishon spoke in Aramaic. How do we know this? There's a pasuk in Tehillim where Adam said about Hashem, "How beautiful is your yakar, is your honor." In the Megillah, again, we find the word yakar being used for the word honor. The question is, why from all of the different words, there are many words in Tanakh, there are many words in Tanakh that are Aramaic, there are many examples. Why did Chazal focus on the word yakar, and why indeed is it over here used in reference to, is it used instead of the traditional word kavod? So the answer is, there's no... Aramaic is viewed in halacha as a translation from Hebrew. It's not just another language. The language that the world was created with is Lashon HaKodesh. Aramaic is a translation. Basically means it's not the original, it's secondary. You use a translation when you're speaking to people who can't identify with the real thing. You have to dilute the depth and the truth and the significance of what is real with something that is secondary.
Exactly.
And you have to lose something in translation because the people that you're speaking to, you're communicating with, do not have the ability to grasp. You're dulling it down. Therefore, from all the various words, I don't have the exact Chazal, I can't find it at this moment, Chazal are obsessed, so to speak, with the word Yakar. When they focus on the difference between Lashon Kodesh and Aramaic, they're going to use the word Yakar as an example. Why? Because from all the various words, all the various concepts, there's something that's not truly possible to achieve in this world, and that is honor. The only honor is honor that goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we give honor to a human being, there's a concept. You have respect. You stand up. You wait until you're spoken to. Kavod that we give to human beings is only a dogma of the kavod we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's no comparison. There's no true relationship. Therefore, more often than not, in Tanakh, whenever we focus on the word kavod, in Tanakh, those who composed Tanakh will go out of their way to translate the word kavod into Aramaic in order to deliberately, as you said, to lose something in translation, not to give a person an impression that it's even possible in this world to give honor to a human being. The only one that's shaykh to have honor is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a nusach in the davening. Baruch Kivoid Hashem. Yakar, that's the translation. But the only one that is truly possible to give cover to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So different. This is over here in the Pasuk. Oh, we're now going to issue a new law. V'chol ha'noshim yitnu yakar leva'alehen. What we're going to say, v'yitnu kavo leva'alehen. They're going to give honor to their husbands. This is the new law, that you give honor to the king, give honor to your husband. People are going to get the mistaken impression, the same type of honor you give to your husband, respect, that's the type of respect you give to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's foolish. It's foolish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a different league. We deliberately want there to be something lost in translation, because the word kavod is such a critical word. The whole world was created to give kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the pasuk and the pasuk? Oh, very good. So, Einoch Inami. First, that's from the Torah itself. That's not from Kesuvim. That a parent is a shutif with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in. So there's a shutif. There's a shutfis. So that's a different degree of kavod.
Well, that's already in
the pasuk that Kadosh Baruch Hu created this world for His honor. Does anyone remember the pasuk? The pasuk that the whole world was created. Therefore, we bedafka choose the word yokar, even though kimat everything else in these sequence of words are Hebrew l'shoyin kodesh, or if it's not l'shoyin kodesh, it will be a Persian word. A Persian word, but here we're going to take a Hebrew word and translate it to lose in translation the essence of the concept of kavod. Okay, now there's another important idea, that this is also a hakdama to what the Megillah has not even really started. This is a hakdama to present, to foreshadowing what's going to happen later on. Now here's how he explains it here in the Sefer. Later on, towards the critical time of Megillah, Haman comes back home after burying his daughter, after he was invited to the party, and before he comes to the party, Ahasuerus tells Haman, "I want you to give honor to Mordechai. Take Mordechai, bring him royal clothing, bring him the royal horse, and march him around the city and announce, 'Kocho ye'oselo ish hashar melech chafetz bikaro.'" He goes out. They also be correct, the same idea, but the point is the same idea. We keep on in the Megillah, we keep on using the word yokar, we don't use the word kavod. We want to bedavka use the word yokar. It's a different idea now, because again, this is going back, because we don't want to use the word kavod in reference to a human being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have here the stories about the Melech. The Melech refers to the Melech Malachi Hamlachim, but it also refers to the human beings. Don't confuse the kavod of men to the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now, we come over here to Haman. Haman is marching Mordechai in the street. Haman comes back. His daughter thought that Haman was Mordechai and Mordechai was Haman. She throws a basket of garbage of tzoa upon the head of Haman. She realizes, he picks his head up, she sees that it was her father. She commits suicide. So Haman was Ovel v'chafui rosh. He comes home, his wife says to him, "Im mizera hayhudim Mordechai asher achilos l'pol lefanov lo sucha lo ki nafolti pol lefanov." Now the Medrash says, you know, Haman, you're in a lot of trouble. I would advise you, this is Haman v'chachamav, this is a Medrash, I advise you to quickly issue the command to take down the gallows that you have put up for Mordechai. Things are not going your way. If you're in the palace and Ahasuerus sees, and that's the, was his purpose, he wanted to go to the party and see at the party Mordechai hanging on the gallows. If Ahasuerus at the party looks out the window and sees the gallows, he's going to ask, "Who put up? What? I'm not aware of any construction project in this in Shushan Habira. We finished construction a long time ago. What's that big piece of wood hanging out there in the street?" They'll tell him, "Haman told us to get it ready to hang Mordechai." So his wife and his advisors said to Haman, "Haman, If you'd be smart, you'll issue the command, you'll give executive order to have it removed very quickly. The Medrash says, he said to his wife and advisors, I disagree. This that happened now was just a one-time event. He was a meshugna. He says, don't worry, I will rebound. I will still get my way. Mordechai will ultimately be put to death on the gallows. Don't worry about it. Everything will be okay. They strongly disagreed. Now, until this moment in time, until the Megillah began, Zeresh, who was from the Chashuvos, from the distinguished noble women of Shushan HaBira, had power. She had executive privileges, and she on her own could have issued the command, take down the gallows. And that's exactly what she wanted to do. But before the Megillah began, we had this story, and this story where Achashverosh, where Esther, where Vashti refused to come, and the laws were changed, where women were stripped from their power. She no longer had the ability to issue a command. When a woman would issue a command, they would say, we're not going to fulfill your request until it's signed by your husband. So this was a new standard, a new law that was passed. And because Zeresh did not have the power, the gallows remained standing. When Esther then, a few minutes later, said, Ish tsar v'yoyev hamon haro hazeh, Achashverosh said, go hang him on the gallows. They're ready to go. Had the gallows not been there, then he would not be able to kill him immediately. There would be a delay, and during the delay, he would have been able to save himself. So he's setting here, as we mentioned yesterday, he's setting himself up for his own demise. Two things are coming together, as we mentioned. That until this point in time, a person that rebels against the king cannot be killed by the king. It has to be killed by the government, by the committee. We're going to change that law. The Melech on his own can give the decree to have a person put to death. Number two, we're going to change the laws that women have no power whatsoever. A woman wants to issue a command. I guess the noble women had privileges. Noble women, they can spend money, they can do whatever they want, they can issue the royal decrees. We're going to remove power from the Soros. So these two things that Haman on his own enacted at this moment in time worked against him at the party. Haman now, Achashverosh now had the power to execute and murder Malchus. I want you to die, Haman. And, oh, look at that, how convenient. The gallows are standing right in front of us. If these two laws would not have been passed, then Haman would not have been killed, because Achashverosh would not have the power to put him to death, and there would not be gallows to kill Haman, because Zeresh had the insight to have them removed. She told him, get rid of the gallows. Haman disagreed. So the gallows stood. So here he's setting himself up for his own failure. Okay, so now let's go to the next pasuk. Okay, the next pasuk is Malchus. V'nishma pasukcha v'nishma, it will now be heard. Piskam hamelach asher yaseh b'chol malchuso. So we did already. Pasuk chav aleph. Vayitav hadavar b'yenei hamelach v'hasorim. Vayas hamelach kedvar mimuchan. Okay, before we go further, there is one thing. Another thing I left out of pasuk chav. V'nishma piskam hamelach. Now the darshan. This is not pshat, but it's a drush. It's quoted in the medrash that Haman prophesies without even realizing it. He said, "V'nishma through my decree that Malchuso yitain hamelech l'ruso hatoiva mimena, it will now be nishma the piskam hamelech." Who is the melech? Every time he says melech, the Megillah refers to the melech Malchay Amlach Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What's the piskam hamelech? La Yehudim ha'isa oira simcha v'sasan v'ikar. That's the Piskam HaMelech. Now, through my advice of having Vashti killed and her Malchus being given over to Rusa HaTava Mimena Esther, good things will come to the world. Good things will come, the Piskam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Yudimus Arab Simcha Vasasim Vikar. Now others take this same idea, the Medrash, really in other interpretation, takes the same idea and it says, Benishka Piskam Hamelech of Evil Godel Ayudim. It means to do tshuva, Lech Kenos Eskol Ayudim. There'll be a new chapter. There'll be a new chapter written in Hashem's book. The chapter of tshuva, Kibu, Bekibu, the entire sequence of events that will lead to the salvation of Klal Yisrael. Okay, going back to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vita B'Adam Bein HaMelech, V'Hasim B'Avias HaMelech Yidvar Memuchan, it was done according to his command, Rashi, there is no Rashi in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Let's see the Targum on Pasuk Chaf Aleph. The Targum says, "Ushafar piskama kadamalka v'rav rivonaya." It was pleasing the Lord, but this idea before the king and all of the servants. V'avad malkot kipiskam memuchan, and he did what he wanted. Next, pasuk chafachaveis. Now, there's another decree that came forth. Good morning. V'yishlach sefarim. He sent sefarim el kol medina samelach el medina umedina kichzva according to its script. V'yel am v'am kil shana, and according to each nation, according to their language. So there were different scripts and different languages. Liyos kolish sarer b'veiso umedaber kil shana mo. Now this seemingly is each, the main law was sarer b'veiso. Man shall rule in his home. He shall be in charge, as we mentioned before, all legal matters can only be done through men. Women are not fit to serve as witnesses. They're not fit to serve in any legal capacity. The man is in control. And then it's like today, when they pass a budget, there are always deals going on behind the scene. If you want me to vote for your budget, you got to throw in a few million dollars to build a bridge. Right? If you want me to vote for you for the budget, so you got to throw in a couple of million dollars for my pet project. I have to be able to report back to my constituents. So here, he wanted, when they passed this law, there were people, or Haman, they wanted to enact another takana. Umidaber kilshon amo. This has nothing to do with everything that happened until now. There's nothing, zero. The only question was, there was a matter of chutzpah. Vashti responded with chutzpah to Achashverosh, and we wanted to make men in control. Now we commit, a new law was passed that the language of choice in the home is the language of the husband. Like this week's parasha, Er Onan Shelo, who gets the right to call their child, gets the name. So it says the first one was Vayikra, the second was Vatikra, and the third one should have been Vayikra, except that V'hoyu Bichziv, Belita also, there was no cell phones in those days, so therefore she was able to call the third child what she wanted, not what he wanted. So it alternated between him and her. Who gets first choice? Now the minig is among the Ashkenazim, we know the minig is Banazer, we're going off topic, is that the wife gets first choice among Ashkenazim. Among the Sfarim, I think it's still the other way, where the women get first choice, the men gets first choice. But here, it seems like there was an issue. There was an issue in society where there was a lot of intermarriage among different different cultures, where the husband and wife spoke different languages, and there was an issue in which language would they speak at home and raise their children. No English, second language. Okay.
Second language wasn't the first language.
So this was a very big debate. Look in this country, it's a very big debate. There are always battles to hear about this, that we should not allow in America, the government should not allow people to speak in Spanish,
yeah,
and to speak, and they won't even have laws that the official language. I don't think there is an official language in this country.
No,
and that's what
they want.
It's a chiddush, an incredible chiddush. You think a country has its own language? No, in America, there's no such thing as an official language. Happens to be, we all speak English. We speak English, but it's not official. And they're nafkaminas. You have to accommodate. You have to accommodate. Spend airlines. You have to accommodate. Millions of dollars have to go into making signs and interpreters.
But
if the law.
Pilots all speak.
No, no,
Sof achas. If there would be one official language, it would be a lot easier for the government, because then they would not be required to spend millions of dollars on signs and translations and interpreters. It's your problem. You come to a government facility, you have to know the language, you go spend your own money, bring your own interpreter. If you want, we'll have an interpreter, but we're going to charge you $100 for the session. Why should the government have to go pay tax money to have interpreters there? It would save the government hundreds of millions of dollars if there was something called an official language. But people don't want it because half of the country speaks Spanish, so French, so it's not going to happen so quickly. But the point over here is, this also was a very big issue. It was an issue at the time of Achashverosh, and for some reason they enacted this takana, umidaber kilashayin amo. This is the last foreshadowing incident before the Megillah begins. On the next pair, Mordechai. What happened with Mordechai? What happened with Mordechai? Mordechai, at the end of the next parak, he was pressed and he heard Big Son Vosseresh plotting and planning to kill Achashverosh. In what language were they talking? They were talking in Farsi. What's it called?
Tarsi.
Tarsi.
Persian.
And they spoke openly. They spoke, whatever, they spoke openly among themselves.
Right, it's Persian.
Why did they speak openly among themselves their plot to kill Achashverosh? Because their language, the Medrash, was a rare language. And they looked around, who's standing here? Mordechai. Mordechai HaYehudi. What does he know? What does the Jew know? The Jew knows our co-language. He doesn't know our language. But the truth was, he did know the language, because he served in the Sanhedrin. And one of the conditions to serve in the Sanhedrin is you have to know all 70 languages. So Mordechai was able to decipher what they were saying. But how did they get to a point... How did they get to a point where they were able to speak such a language? It goes back to this decree. Because their parents, Big Son Vosseresh, their mother was a citizen of Parasumadai, who spoke in the common language, and their father was a person who spoke a very rare language. And until this point in time in the Megillah history, they would have been forced, as they grew, they were young people, as they grew up, they would have been forced to speak in their whatever language they want. Since the common language was their mother's language, they would have spoken a common language, and then they would have hidden themselves, and Mordechai would never have been able to discover their plot. But being they now passed a new law that when there's a dispute between a husband and a wife in regard to the language that is spoken in the home, we follow the father no matter what. So now they grew up, they grew up speaking this rare language. And that is why things evolved, where Mordechai was able to hear what they were saying and was able to reveal the plot to Haman, and the whole story of the Megillah followed. So these last words are critical for the story of the Megillah. As you notice, we've gone through so many different things. Achashverosh, executive order. That was a chiddush. Milifonov. The second chiddush is that a wife has no legal control. If she gives the command that the gallows be taken down, we can't do this unless we have the signature. We need a signature. You're a woman. Just because you are a noble women in this country have no shlita. We need the signature of a male, of a noble man, not a noble woman. Another point, you can speak the language of the father. The father, Big Son Vesereish, are now to benefit from this. They'll speak their language. Now Mordechai will be able to hear. These are all different ingredients that are necessary for what is yet to come in the Megillah. Okay, let's take a look at... But now she gave the Eitzah in a Hanami. She gave the Eitzah. But
she had the power. She had the power.
But no, then he did it. He gave advice. She gave advice, and he listened. He agreed. But now she tells him explicitly. It's clear as day. You're done. In the Zera Hayehudi Mordechai Yehudi, Ashachilos Alim Paul Lefanov Loi Suchalo Kinafolti Paul Lefanov. And the Medrash elaborates. Therefore, what? What's the message? Take down the gallows. You're in trouble. It's a thorn in the eyes of Achashverosh to see that you put up the gallows for Mordechai HaYehudi, who you just finished parading in the street. And then he says, Kinifhalu Mipanav, right away the officers came, so he didn't have any time to think about his wife's advice. He was so, they came in such haste to come and schlep him to the party. So in the meantime, Zeresh is screaming, take down the gallows! But he's in a state of confusion. So she would have taken down the gallows. She just needs to make a phone call. When she makes the phone call, they say, I'm sorry, don't you remember they passed a new law that women don't have control, and therefore the gallows will remain. Achashverosh have executive privilege. He can kill a murdered Malchus or whatever without going to any committees. Big son Viseresh is the one. The only reason why there was a party was because Umi Midaber Kilashon Ano. Big son Viseresh can speak their common language. Let's see the Targum of this pasuk. Pasuk Chavez in the Targum. This is the Rashi. Rashi Umi Midaber Kilashon Amo Koife Es Ishtoi Lelamed Es Lishono. Two things. She has to learn a new industry, to go and take lessons, to learn another language. Im he bas l'shoyin acher, if she comes from another nation. Targum, Pasuk HaBeis. Yeah, we have a long Targum here. Oshlach Pitkin. Okay, Pitkin, we have a new word. Pitkin is a translation of the word Sefarim, books. Okay, it's not, it's, notice that this is not a letter. Okay, we have over here, we have later on. Okay, well, let's just leave it now. Pitkin, kis sivan, vachasiman, bis kisei with the seal. Okay, it's with the official seal of the king. L'chol palchei malchol lefelech kimichtav rush mei ulevos amo v'amo, the language in the script and in the language of every nation. Ki malel lishna, levos is the script and the malel lishna is the language. Kare v'chein amar atun amaya umaya v'lishanaya di dayarin b'chol mem shalti. All of you people, you nations and languages that live in my, under my control, my authority, is the haru l'mehave kol gvar misarvon al itisei. Every man shall rule over his wife. V'chafe lo l'mehave mimalo kilishnon gavra. And you can force your wife to speak in my language, the language of the husband. U'chamalo amei, and like the language of his, of his nation. Okay, I don't know, there's a lot of, obviously there's a lot of more messages here inside, but that's the basic gist. Okay, now there's another very important, very famous Chazal. Chazal tell us this also was a very important ingredient to foreshadowing what's going to come. If not for this letter, there would not have been a survivor Chas v'Shalom in Klal Yisrael. Because, can you imagine Halacha b'Yadeinu Esav son Yaakov, when Achashverosh sent out the letters that on the 13th day of Adar, and everyone shall gather together to destroy the Jewish people. These letters were sent out almost 11 months in advance. They were sent out in Chodesh Nisan, if I'm not mistaken. We'll come to the dates. I forgot the dates exactly. But they were sent out, Gesundheit, they were sent out many, many months in advance, telling the entire world that on this particular day, permission is granted to annihilate the Jewish people. Do you think the Umos HaOlam are going to wait? When that's what it says in the Medrash. When they get the letter and they still say Zrizim Makdimim L'mitzvahs. If the king says that on the 13th day off, that means that's the deadline. That's the only way to do your taxes until the last minute. You do your taxes January 1st. You do your taxes. I'm just joking. But basically, you know, you don't have to delay. It's like someone got a ticket. My mother, Allah, used to tell me, she was once, when she was young, she was driving with this wild, one of my grandfather's students, to take him to the country, and he would do all these really bizarre things on the highway. He would, when there was traffic, he would drive on the shoulder, he would speed. So finally, the police pulled him over, and the police said to him, you know, you were going 80 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone. So he said, she said to the police, I thought when it said 50, that's the minimum. I don't know what happened, but that's what he told the officer. That's the minimum. That's the maximum. So it's the same thing. When the people would receive the letters that on the 13th day of Adar, the Jewish people are to be destroyed, they would assume, or they would interpret it to mean, that's the maximum. That's the latest. By the 13th day is when it must be done and finished. Zrizim akdimim lemitzos, to start immediately. That's how it would have been understood. Why did they not do so? Because they said, this king is crazy. He's out of his mind. We just got a letter from him not that long ago that every man is in charge. What kind of foolish decree? What kind of foolish... Of course every man is in charge. Now, this does not go well with what we would try to explain. We tried to explain that it wasn't just every man is in charge. It meant legally in charge. Until now, women can sign documents. Women can serve in public, in an official capacity. The deeper meaning is, they took away shlita from women. Women can no longer serve in court, can no longer serve as witnesses, can no longer sign legal documents. But still, you have to learn the language provision. But on a very simple level, this is what the Medrash says, the letter was received by the Hamoina as a statement that a man rules his house. The man sits at the front of the table, at the head of the table. It's a shaita. Of course, we have different examples of in the Medrash. The simplest member of society rules in his own home. It's a shaita. So therefore, when they received the second letter that said you should kill the Jews, they say, you know, let's wait and see. So this again is another critical ingredient that is serving as an introduction to the Megillah to prepare. Exactly. Don't take everything that he says too seriously. Okay, the words of the Medrash are, it's a Gemara Masechet Megillah, it's a very critical Gemara. Omar Rava Ilmalei Igrois Harish Shainois, if not for the first letter, Shashalach Loi Nishtayer Misoine Ehem Shal Yisrael started to pull it. Because people would say, what kind of crazy thing over here are these letters? Okay, I think that pretty much covers. Let me just make sure I got everything I wanted to say. To make sure, it's going to be one moment. I think we pretty much cut everything I wanted to say. Let me just make sure, because that will conclude Perek Aleph. Alright, we'll stop here.